food, I thank God for an extra hour last night.
Yes.
Because they had a long week, but I thank God to bring me back. I was telling you this morning, Christian education. There's so much to thank God for. Last week for me was just a great week. I said earlier, everything just worked out because I obeyed God. Mm-hmm. And any time that you can come up and say in the course of time that you have done what the Lord would have you do, it's a good week. And that's when you sing the song that I'm sure that not everybody might know, but the song says, "It is well with my soul."
Yes.
That means that there's nothing bothering you. The devil can't accuse you or anything, because it doesn't stop him from accusing you. Don't do that anyway. But I want to look today for a few minutes, and I think of Peter. And we were talking this morning in Ephesians. I thank God for all those that are, everybody who's on Zoom. It's good to see all the Rogers. Good to see you yesterday in India. Praise God for you. Mother Wears is good minister. Said my sister Nancy, praise the Lord. Pray the Lord just kind of lift you up, Ella Jenkins. I thank God for it. Let's look in 1 Peter, the first chapter. We were talking this morning about, it's good to see Evangelist Watson and Sister Hicks always, the Griffin family, praise God for you. I know if you got my text or not, I was sending it back last night, and we were coming back. And it was a busy weekend. We went down yesterday to Tampa to a memorial service. It went well, as memorial services tend to do, because they don't always, but that one went well, so I thank God for it. Peter writes in this something that he knows, and he's writing to the Jewish believers, and we were talking about this morning in Ephesians, the difference between the Jewish believers who had the gospel and the covenants for some 4,000 years or whatever, as opposed to, 2,000 years, as opposed to the Gentile believers who were newly saved and newly in Christ. And we identify more with the Gentile believers, because what we want in our churches, we want people to come in who, as Paul wrote in one place, to bring them out of darkness into the light from Satan and sin unto God, that they would have forgiveness of their sins and have an inheritance. And it uses the word inheritance. And in many places he talks about different words. In one place he says we are God's workmanship.
Yes.
He shaped us and molded us. And if you know anything about when I talk about God, the ultimate example of God is He's the ultimate parent. And we shape and mold our kids. They don't decide what school they're going to go to. We do.
Yes.
They don't decide, by the time they get to, I think the first choice that our kids have in school is probably college for the most part. But until then, at least before high school, we decide where they're going to school, school, when they're going to go, what's best for them. Because we know better. We're the ones to make the choice. Probably if we gave most kids a choice of school, they wouldn't choose any. At least until they're older. But we make that, and we shape them, and then if we're good parents, we look for the right neighborhood, and we see what amenities, and we put them into programs, we put them into, I don't know what they have these days. When I was growing up, it was scouting and those kind of things, and these days, I guess that's kind of sullied, so not so many people do that, but we put them in different things, and we put them in STEM, or whatever we can do to enhance them and bring them up. And God does the same thing. We're His workmanship. From the time that we come into God, He does everything He can, because He knows that a life in Him can be greater than a life without Him.
Yes, yes.
And when God looks at us, He looks at what we call, God looks at long term. Everything we do in the earth is on a very gradual basis. The young lady whose memorial I was doing yesterday, she was a whole all of 29.
Yes.
It was all 29.
Yes. Yes.
And it was a youthful aggregate, a congregate of people, because of her friends and who they were and her workers, associates, and her sorors, as they would say. And they were all there. They did a presentation. And it gave me an opportunity to really talk to some people who as being coming from a financial advisor. Financial planning to start when you're 40 is better than nothing, but really you need to start when you're 20.
Yes.
Buying insurance when you're 45 is very expensive. You need to buy it when you're 20.
Yes.
Getting an education. I found out I didn't have a degree until I'd been going to college for years, but I never finished a degree till the time I had retired from the military. And it's a different ballgame trying to study and do all this stuff when you're 50 than it is than you are when you're 25, when you're 18, 19, or 20. You're just, you know, and math used to be like reading to me, but by the time I got to be 50, it got to be difficult because I hadn't done it for years.
Yes.
And I had to crank up this mind and get it working, and it's just not sharp like it is when you're 19, 20, and you're like a sponge and you can soak things up. So you start when you're young. It's the same thing in God.
Yes.
The earlier you start, the better off you are, and the better things will work. And God, as he says in one place, we are his workmanship. He shapes us up because he knows that he has a great future for us. And I listen to people all the time talk about in Jeremiah when he tells Israel he's going to bring them to an expected end. And we like to use it to talk about things in the earth. You've heard me say it before, but God's expected end for us is what he has for us in eternity. And all the years of prepping, just like we do when we send our kids to preschool, Fullerton to Mayors, and probably Brother and Sister Griffin's kids been going to school almost all their life.
Yes.
You know, you don't put them in nurseries anymore. You put them in early learning centers.
Yes.
By the time I didn't learn my ABCs and didn't learn how to count, I was in first grade. My God, these kids are reading before they get to first grade and get out of kindergarten. Exactly. And they're really working these programs. And we're preparing them because we don't want them to be unprepared to do well.
Yes.
And God does the same thing. We're workmanship. We were talking about earlier of the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in Ephesians. It's because God knows that without the leading and guiding, and it's nice to have someone who's leading and guiding all the time, we would never make it. Now, looking at 1 Peter this morning in the first chapter to see what we're going to get and to see where we are, and I won't be long this morning. And he says, blessed be the God and Father, and Peter, the 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he says, because of his abundant mercy, God's mercy, since we've been born in sin and our default destiny at the time of birth is hell.
Yes.
If we don't do something.
Yes.
And if we don't do something.
Yes.
Then you're going to be lost.
Amen.
That's the default setting that we're born under.
Yes.
And there are some years that grace covers until we reach the point where we can make conscious decisions. God's grace and mercy is there. So if we would say, well, if a child is 6 months years old and sudden infant death should take over, are we saying these laws forever? No, there's the grace of God, the consideration and the pureness of conscience that I would say that they would make it in. I would certainly not say that they would go. But by the time I'm able to make a conscious choice between right and wrong, then I start entering into a point where I need to take myself out of the default setting, and now I'm expected to make a choice for life.
Yes.
And this is not the age of 12, like when I was growing up, they used to say, you know, you need to do something for the Lord before you turn 12, then you're accountable. No, unfortunately, it happens a lot sooner than the age of 12. I would say you start becoming accountable, and you need to start hearing about the option that you have not to be lost forever as soon as possible. It needs to be at a point where things are being inbred so that the truth is something that doesn't have to rattle around in us to convince us. When children are young, you can convince them of anything. This is the reason why the devil reaches out so much the younger they are. If you can convince a child that a fat man can slide down a skinny chimney, you can convince them of anything.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, you can.
Yes, right. You can. That's right.
And get them to believe it. It's a great time to tell them about Jesus.
Yes.
Because their hearts are pure. And it's not like when I'm preaching with adults, And when you're preaching or teaching grown people, it doesn't matter where you are, but especially in God, people don't challenge Euclid in geometry like they challenge God.
No, they don't.
They don't doubt what the sign, you know, what people say or whatever. And you'll say to me, that's because you can prove it to me logically. Well, if you've seen the miracles that God has done in my life, I can prove that to you logically too. But it comes down to a point where as they get older, the more they resist and the more they learn how to resist.
Yes.
So the earlier you get it, the better. But back to my point, and then what we're saying is, so the Lord works out, he starts to work so that he gets us prepped and keeps us ready, because he has redeemed us. So he has made a way for us to push that, to change that default setting that we were born under. It's a default setting that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we have to push another button and make a change in order to do something differently.
Yes.
That's the reality of it.
Yes.
You have to decide you want to go to heaven.
Yes.
You just don't automatically go there.
Amen.
And heaven is very real. And so God starts to work things just like we do for our, you know, he changes us. We're his workmanship. He saves us, and then by the grace of God, usually if someone is preaching a gospel that's good enough for you to decide that you need to be in Christ, it didn't take much. I was telling him this morning about Barnetta Pearson. The woman was a holy woman of God, and she came into the room, came into my neighbor's house, and I was sitting there drinking beer, watching the Cowboys lose and enjoying myself. And she said, and she just mentioned, you know, going to church and they need a bass player. We had to be the Lord, because that was my heart.
Yes.
That's what I like to do. And the Lord drew me and just made a way. I didn't go find her. She found
me.
The Lord found me.
Yes, yes.
Came to where I was and found me. And when the Lord opens the door, you should walk through it.
Yes.
And then once that happened, then God had to start discipling me, just like Jesus did to the disciples. He had to teach them, and everywhere they would go, he would teach them, the kingdom of heaven is this, and
yes,
the kingdom of heaven is like that, and you need the Lord for this, and my Father does this, and my Father does that. Just like we tell our children, because we say to them, why do you need to go to bed at night? Because you need to grow.
Yes.
And you need your help. And why do I need to eat breakfast or whatever it is? Because you need to grow, and this is healthy. And why can't I go here? And then the challenges change, because once we teach them how to do all the basic things between the ages until they get about 12, then they become a teenager. Now we have a brand new set of why can't I?
Yes.
And then we have to be able to just, you know, and it's long since passed, you know, two or three generations ago, because I said that without being the answer.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
It takes more than that. And that wasn't really the greatest answer when I was coming along. You know, I could have used a little bit more explanation. You know, I wasn't that pathetic. It wouldn't have hurt to, you know, say, give me a little bit of insight into why, you know, things were like they were. And God is the same way. Believe it or not, God never, you know, we say the Word of God says you need to do it. But since God is a compassionate Savior, and he's the creator of the universe, and yet he doesn't mind taking the time to say to me why I need to live free from sin.
Yes, yes.
He tells me of the destructiveness of it, and he warns me of what comes, and he makes sure that I know that really the life I'm living in right now is just pre-K.
Yes. Yes.
And that there is
more. Yes.
And there's something else to do. And then there's another thing that Paul told the saints in Ephesus, because we watch too many commercials about the Philadelphia cream cheese. They just laying around on cloud pillows, and we see in all the, you know, all the movies and things, you know, angels just sitting around being bored playing harps, and you know, and everybody's not a musician anyway. And if you weren't one on earth, what makes you think you're gonna be one in heaven? Maybe you will be. But and we get this idea that when I get to heaven, there's nothing to do. And if there's anything that you get, and I know Evangelist Watson knows what I'm talking about, says Ezekiel saw the wheel in the middle of the wheel. And what he saw was the government of God, and God at the center of the universe, and everything was revolving around him. And all the beings and things were working with God and moving with God. And when it talks about in Ephesians us working with the Lord and talks about us ruling and reigning with him, there's a job to do.
Yes.
It is like, if you want to see it, look at the Windsors. That's Queen Elizabeth and Charles and all them. They don't just inherit the cap. They don't just inherit the cap, the castles and the land. They also inherit the rule, and they have a job to do, and they inherit all the tradition and things that go along with it. They have a place and something that's about them. We, the inheritance that we have in God is not just, it is a mansion, it is a crown, it's all those things, but we'll also rule and reign with Him. It's also the power and the status and the place that we have, not just among men, but in the universe.
In the universe, yes.
To an inheritance.
To an inheritance.
Undefiled.
Yes.
That fadeth not away. It's an inheritance. It's not just, oh, I'm just going to go, you know, I think some of the saints say sometimes, I've heard it said more times than a few, we're just going to stroll down Hallelujah Boulevard. We're just going to walk around the throne all day. No, God's got a job for you.
Yes.
There's a reason for Him sending His Son to die for us. There's a greatness, and when you read about it, it talks about us being above all, you know, being above the moon and the stars and the skies. This is not just written in here to make us feel good. Yes. There's a work, there's an inheritance that we have that is undefiled, and the faith is not away. Yeah. And I was telling them yesterday, because I, you know, I always do all the little silly stuff, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, but to me it does, because God keeps me. I was telling them, you know, in God's time, if one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, if you really use that equation, then if a person lives for 100 years in God, they've only lived for 2 hours and 24 minutes.
Yep.
In God's time. Our lives are remarkably short.
Yes.
And in the interim, but our eternity is forever.
Listen.
Eternity is something that we can't even wrap our hands around.
That's right.
It doesn't end. And I was telling him yesterday at the memorial, you got to be ready, because if you, you know, God is good to us. Why does God bless us? Why does God win us? Why does God help us? Why does God show up? It develops our faith in God, our trust in God. Good parents want their children to know they're good parents. God would have you know He's a good God, so that you trust Him, so that you put your life in His hands. You know, God isn't saying, well, you know, I'm here, I'm God, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything, I'll show you what happens to you when you die, and then you choose me or not choose me, and then you get a chance to make a choice. If it was like that, it'd be hard to choose. But He does so much.
Yes.
And He moves so mightily in our lives because He knows what happens once this mortal body stops working and that I get my new body. And Jesus makes a point of letting you know in one place. He says everybody's going to be resurrected. Some people are going to be resurrected into eternal life, and some people are going to be resurrected into eternal death.
Yeah.
And it's not like prison where you go before a parole board every 2 or 3 thousand years, and you make a decision on whether or not you can switch it out. It's not like I wake up in the morning and I'm not in Christ, I can say, wait a minute now, I think, you know, let me go back for a minute like they do in the movies and do some things different. It's not like little Joe in Cabin in the Sky where you get 6 months to go back and try to fix things and work them out so you can go to heaven. No, your decision needs to be made now. And since God is not a tyrant, He makes life so great so you'll go in that direction now. Good parents, and God is the best, He's the ultimate parent. Good parents teach their kids to obey them, and they teach their kids to respect them, and they draw their kids with love and favor. Every parent I know that's a good parent, you've already figured out by now what you're going to get your kids for Christmas or what you're going to allow them to have. Sometimes I look at people, there's some religions who don't celebrate Christmas. I have a problem with that. One thing, if you're not going to celebrate Christmas as Christ's birthday, then what day do you celebrate it on? Since obviously He was born at some point in time.
Yes.
And if you don't want to work with me on December 25th, tell me what day you want to have His birthday, and we'll celebrate
that one. Yes.
But don't just throw it up in the air. That ain't really Christ's birthday. Then if you can't tell me which one it is, how are you going to tell me that's not?
It's not. That's right. Amen.
And I'm not really hung up on the particular day. My point is that He was born.
Born, yes.
It's the same thing in Easter. I'm not hung up on that day either. My point is that He rose again.
Yes.
And if you want to challenge me on the days, then give me one. And I'll come up to your house on this day that you choose on August the 23rd. And we'll call that Resurrection Day. But the point being that Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah,
the idea is what you want to get me out of is you want to take away my inheritance. You want to have me disinherited by thinking that God is not my father and I don't belong. Wrong person.
Yes.
Done too much for me.
Yes.
So all of our children, we've already planned now to make up. You know, you can be dirt poor. And still, you figure out how you can scrub an extra floor. You can do something so that you can do something nice for your children. And it's not what they deserve. It's what you want to do.
Yes.
We have so far, Paul and I, we've gone so far beyond what our children deserve. Who hasn't?
Yes.
If you're able to.
Yes.
What person is it? Who would not do, when we talk about good parents, do as much as they can. And God is greater than us.
Yes.
And Jesus makes that example when he talks about it. He says, what father is it if his children ask him for bread, he give them a stone or whatever he says.
Yes,
and God is
yes.
greater than that.
Yes.
And he brings us to this point so that we trust him, so that when he says he's going to bring us to an inheritance, you get what I got. If Chandra and Antoine don't cut the food too much, when me and Paul aren't here, whatever we got, they can have.
Yes.
And I, you notice I said they didn't cut the food too much.
Yeah,
because they cut the food some, and I'll still leave it to them.
Yes.
I'm not going to need it. If they had to be perfect in life for me, who is that?
Nobody. Yes, that's right.
Nobody I know.
Yes.
And anybody who pretends that they're perfect in God, that's why we're made righteous through his son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't give us the right to just go out and do whatever we want to do and act in the way we behave. There's a way you have to come into my house.
Yes, yes.
And there's a way you have to come to God.
Yes.
But God puts up with a lot.
Oh, yes.
Oh, saints of God. He says, God, for all the years when I'm stumbling down the highways and out of my mind and not doing and not obeying God, not loving God, not paying attention to God, and then have the audacity to turn around and mumble at God when something is wrong.
Yes.
He should have thumped me up beside my head one good time and turned me around. But the grace of God was such that he didn't do me like people. When I finally came to God, he said, here I am.
I am.
Yes, yes.
I'm waiting. I've been waiting all along. It's the same way we are.
Yes.
Whenever our children show up and say, we need help, it doesn't matter how we parted. We were bad when we last saw them. But if they call me and say, I'm broke down on the highway, here we go.
Yes. Yes.
Make no mistake about it. And he says this to an inheritance in the second. He says, and alive to hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in verse 1. In other words, he gave us life when we didn't have life.
Yes.
He brought us back from that default setting. And he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. One that you can't take my inheritance from me and God.
No.
I've heard people in churches say from time to time, if you don't go along with the pastor, I'll pray you out of here. You can't pray a prayer against me as long as I'm in God.
That's right.
As long as I'm obeying God, you can't pray a prayer to make God turn against me. Ask Balaam.
Yes, yes.
As long as I'm going along with God, just because you don't like me, I don't care how much you claim you are, you can't pray a prayer as long as I'm obeying God and get God to turn his back on me.
Yes, right. Amen.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
He says into an inheritance, but I can turn myself from God.
Yes.
Can take me out of God.
Yes.
I can allow myself to lose my inheritance.
Yes.
I can let the devil come in and convince me not to obey God.
Yes.
I can allow myself. It's like my children, I love them. You can't stop me from loving them, but they can turn around and make me very angry.
Yes.
They can change my mind about them. They can get me to throw them out. You can't talk me to throw them out, but they can make me throw them out.
Wow, that's right.
To an inheritance undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And here it comes in this big issue. Do you believe in heaven or not?
Yes.
Can't believe in God and not believe in
heaven. Yes.
Can't believe in heaven and not believe in God.
Yes.
Reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. That's my last scripture. Why do I pray that the Lord will heal you so that you'll let God keep you?
Yeah.
Why do I pray that you'll let the Lord bless you so that you'll let the Lord keep you?
Keep you.
Why do I pray that the Lord will answer your prayer? So that you will allow the Lord to keep you.
Yes.
Why does the Holy Ghost keep saying to you, you'll be all right?
Yes.
So you are kept to the time of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Why does God come in and bless us? And why does God keep us? So that you'll go along with God.
Yes.
Because at the end of this, you know, 80, 90, 100 years that I have in this body, I'm going to enter into eternity. And eternity is time infinitum.
Yes.
That never ends. And someone will, you know, unless you're among the people who are in error and say that when you die, you just go into the grave. That's what animals do. People live forever.
Yes.
You're going to live in one place or another forever. And God's not beating anybody into coming to Him. He's loving them in.
Yes.
Through His loving kindness and His favor, He drew us.
Yes.
He's moving so that you'll come. And He's saying, why don't you come?
Yes.
And let me give you life. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This is God's plea to us.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost comes, everybody stand. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you.
Sturgis family, not only brothers and sisters Sturgis that are here, but all
Lord, move over this promised church and add to our number. All those we touch, Lord, draw men and women, Lord, and we will give them the word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you move by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. There be a great move of God and cause men and women to say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, cause those to call upon you, Lord, that you would extend to them the grace that you've given us. God, that you would save their souls and fill them with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Lord, remember Sister Nancy, oh God. Lord, touch her right now in Jesus' name and make her all way home. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I thank God for this sentence person. I thank God for all of you being out today. I really wasn't sure anybody was coming because I didn't know if anybody knew we were back in town or not. But I'm glad.